Congratulations on a great album, man. State of Euphoria.
Thanks.
It's awesome. How long have you been in the band?
I've been in there 4 years now.
And what was your first final appearance with Anthrax?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You recorded that song. It ended up appearing on From the Megavolt. That song, Panic.
Yeah, those were the first cuts on that I ever did, really, with them. The EP came before Spreading the Disease, actually.
And that was recorded while you were rehearsing with the band?
Yeah, well, I was rehearsing, you know, to learn the new stuff off Spreading the Disease. Actually, I was learning everything, you know, and those were the first songs that I chose to do. Armed and Dangerous, Panic, and Metal Thrashing Mad.
And then they decided to put Panic on that compilation record.
Yeah, I don't know how they picked those songs, I guess. And there was another one with Metal Thrashing Mad was on another one of those.
So then, shortly after that, you went in to record Spreading the Disease?
Yeah, well, that was directly, like, within days. I mean, everything was done, and we went right in and did that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a spur of the moment, quick in-and-out type thing, because I came in kind of late.
Mm-hmm. How did you get hooked up with them?
Well, I was in a band called Bible Black, which was from Ithaca, which was the town where they were recording. And Carl Kennedy, that played drums for the Rods, were producing the albums. And the people that I was playing with in Bible Black were used to be the First Rainbow, on the First Rainbow album, which used to be Elf. And he knew the people that I was playing with, Carl, that was producing Anthrax, and he had asked around. They asked him if they knew any singer, because they had just fired one of the guys that they had, you know, for 2 weeks, and he was a young kid. And it just worked out fine with me. I was in Plattsburgh at the time. They flew me up, and I never heard of them or heard of their music, but it was good.
So most of the music, or all the music probably, was already written then when you came?
Yeah, everything was done, yeah, except for vocals.
Were they already in the studio at the time?
Yeah, they were right in the process of finishing all basic tracks, really. Mm-hmm. Pretty much all done.
Was Dan Locher in the band for a while? I know he's mentioned on the credits for...
He's mentioned because he had written some songs previously before that.
A couple songs that really stand out on that record. I don't know if you know anything about the influence in writing those songs, but I know Lone Justice is one that really stands out in my mind as being really an exceptional track. Is there anything that basically influenced the band to put that together?
Well, Lone Justice, Scott was, you know, a big freak at Clint Eastwood. That's where that really came from. That's that song's about. That's all I really know about the background of that song. I mean, it's just a good track.
And you guys went on the road right after that?
Yeah, I went right out and started touring the Spreading the Disease, and we played a lot of physical metal too also.
How long were you on the road for that, supporting that record?
I'd say probably about 2 months, 3.5 months, something like that. I can't really remember exactly how long we were out.
And were you doing a support tour with another band?
No, we were actually touring ourselves. We did a few dates, maybe like with Raven at one time, just a couple shows, and we pretty much did our own headlining, and then we went out and we finally got a tour with Sabbath, you know, for 5 days with Wass, you know, us two together, and then we moved on and did a new album, Among the Living, and then we've been touring with Kiss, and then we toured with Maiden overseas with Daily Roth and Kiss and us and Great White. And then we're doing the Ozzy tour. That's pretty much the touring we've done. We've been headlining a lot ourselves.
Did you write a lot of the tracks for Among the Living when you were on the road?
You know, we work together. I mean, everybody has a little piece and stuff that we all do together. I mean, Scott writes all the lyrics.
And then you guys basically collaborate on the music?
Yeah, you know, everybody kind of puts their hands together.
A couple tracks, NFL kind of deals with a chemical dependency issue. Was there anything that motivated you guys to write that?
NFL?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a saying that everyone had. I remember when I first joined the band, NFL, I thought it was National Football League, but it's, you know, that's what I mean. I always see people in my fucking life. It's about drugs, really, that song, you know, drugs.
Seems like a lot of the songs on Among the Living deal with kind of personal flaws amongst people. Is that kind of a concept that had been sticking in you guys' mind, or?
Well, you know, these things come to mind, and they seem to be positive things to write about, you know.
Yeah, like the song One World kind of seems like it deals with the, you know, the idea of nuclear holocaust.
Yeah. There's a couple, like The Enemy or something of sort, like that, back a while. But, that's Scott, you know, he'll come up with some things. It could be a comic book, or it could be Clint Eastwood, or it could be a, you know, about the bums in the streets from the new album, The One Who Cares Wins, you know, it could be anything. It's just anything that comes to mind.
Does he basically do the lyrics first, and then you try and structure the music?
No, the music's first, really. Everybody comes with the riffs, and we try to make our choruses and our verses and our first beginnings, parts, and endings, and then we throw the vocals in later.
Then you went back on the road for Among the Living, and that was a rather extensive tour, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was pretty good, though. We did some good touring with that. We headlined over in Europe and we headlined the States. That was one of our bigger headlining tours that we did. And this year we'll do the same thing, but a little larger.
And the song Imitation of Life seems to deal with just people putting on like a false front, you know. It has, you know, the phrase plastic people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're, does a band, do you guys come across a lot of that? You know, is that something that really sickens you guys, one of your pet peeves?
Well, you end up seeing a lot of that, of course, and it's just something you, if you don't see it, you know that it's out there.
Have you found that, as far as a lot of people that wouldn't support you when you were first, you know, breaking out of the underground, and you see a lot of those people now kind of putting on that false face, you know, trying to get behind
you
guys?
Yeah, sometimes you really can't tell if they're really coming on to you the right way or coming, just like anybody. You could even meet a friend or a girl, meet anything in particular. It's the same stuff. You don't really know if it's positive or negative, you know.
How long have you been singing?
Me, I've been singing, playing drums and singing for more of the time than I've ever been fronting. I've probably drummed and sang for like 6 years, and Anthrax has been 4 years.
Did you play drums with any band?
Yeah, I played with a bunch of cover groups a while back, you know, like in high school, and then I started fronting. I was in a band called Triffid, and I was in a band called Megaforce.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a band called Medusa.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny, two karmas there.
Yeah.
No, that's really strange.
What were some of your vocal and percussion influences early on?
Back, you know, like the Deep Purple stuff, and Neil Peart, Rush, the Aerosmith stuff, Bad Company, Kansas especially, Yes in Kansas, of course, Journey.
And all those people really gave you a push to play, or?
Yeah, I still listen to their stuff now and out all the time. We've got albums of all the bands, I mean, everything they've done.
So did you guys write a lot of the tunes for State of Euphoria while you were on the road?
No, we don't never get a chance to do that because your mind is not ready for it, you know. You're just too busy either resting or getting ready or just, you know, not thinking about nothing but playing.
Well, actually, you released the I'm the Man EP kind of in the interim time there.
Yeah, right.
How did that song come about?
Well, that came in on a B-side, Among the Living.
But I mean, what motivated you guys to write sort of...
Well, everybody's closet rap freaks, you know? You know, here and there, and it just was a good chance to just, you know, fool with something and make it funny and humorous at the same time.
Yeah, it really took off, too. That was probably one of your most successful tracks that you guys have ever put together.
Yeah, I enjoy doing it live, too. The crowd goes nuts over it.
How did you hook up with Sam Kinison for that? Is he a good friend of the band's?
No, he's just actually a good fan, you know, of ours, you know, just listening. We have sampled a bunch of shit and these thing we've got during the rap. I just hit these things and there's a bunch of these laughs go off. And stuff. It's great.
How about the Sabbath covers? Have you guys been doing those for a while?
We always do. I mean, there's times that you just do covers all the time because if you're bored of your own stuff and you don't feel like playing it. And, you know, everybody's big fans of Sabbath, and we did a B-side, Parasite, on the new album, and, you know, the new time around.
So what really motivated you guys to put those on the EP?
Well, it gives you a chance to throw stuff on there that, you know, I mean, EP and B-sides to me are like stuff that people can't really get their hands on, you know, on an album.
Mm-hmm. And so then when you went off the road, did you guys, you know, take sort of a break before you started, you know, writing some stuff for State of Euphoria?
Yeah, we did take a break, and then I found ourselves really cramming, actually.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we don't have very much time, because always timing is so important, and you can only push so fast to get things the way you want them.
Seems like the songs on State of Euphoria kind of deal with the human condition, but it seems like it, Among the Living deals more in the general sense with the individual, and State of Euphoria kind of deals with, you know, the human condition in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was, like songs like Make Me Laugh,
Swagger.
Yeah, that's basically what influenced you guys to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or was that really the whole, you know, evangelical issue in general?
The song in particular, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was just about swagger, just, you know, about being phony and just the phony crap. I mean, how can you ignore something like that? You know, it's just there every day in front of you.
Mm-hmm. Seems like the song Antisocial kind of runs along the same lines, maybe. With,
yeah.
You know, with people being money hungry and willing to exploit everyone for a dollar.
Right, exactly.
Have you guys had problems with your record label, kind of as the popularity comes in, trying to change your sound a little bit? You know, I know a lot.
They don't do anything to us. They do pretty much what we want. Mm-hmm. We just, you know, I think we got to get from them is okay with cash.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's all right. But otherwise, no, they don't. From day one, they haven't told us what to do.
Well, that's good.
They don't know enough about it,
uh-huh.
You know, to tell us without fouling it up.
Uh-huh. How about Who Cares Wins? What was the motivation behind that?
You know, that's about right.
Actually, I'm not really sure.
about the bums in the street. They ask him for money and stuff. And so that's the way I got it from Scott. Actually, what I got from that was Scott was saying that he'd actually would give someone money, what I remember. I don't know if that's me or not.
How did you come up with the title for that?
I have no idea. I don't know what the fuck that is.
Anyway, what about the line in that song? It's repeated a few times, "There but for the grace of God." How does that fit in with the lyrics?
I don't know. You know, maybe they're just reaching up to the Lord or something. I don't know. That's a good question, you know. Maybe the grace of God, I don't know. Got me. I mean, you can take a stab at it.
And then you kind of changed your point of subject a little bit on the song Schism. That basically deals with a racist standpoint.
Yeah, and then also schism, when we say schism, is like, you know, say somebody's getting a little fight with somebody, or, you know, we got somebody mad at us, it's like, oh, schism, trouble.
Do you guys usually sit down together as a band when you're writing stuff, or does somebody come up with a riff and then present it to the other members of the band and you build
it? A lot of times, yeah, well, we do that. We'll come in the next day and say, yeah, listen to this, I got a good riff for the beginning of that, or I got a great chorus for this, you know. And everybody just feeds each other riffs and stuff, and we put them together, and then if it sounds good, we keep it.
How do you guys like playing the big venues?
I like it, you know. We're starting to really pick up on the Ozzy thing, you know. It's really unusual to... I mean, we're doing it, and there's always anything can happen on these tours, you know, for us. You know, things are a different kind of music. But every time we get done with the show, the kids are going nuts. And they start slow, and it picks right up.
Is it a big difference to you guys playing the big venues?
Yeah, I mean, we're reaching new people, the people that you'd never probably even pick up any money to go see us normally, you know what I mean? They're just there for the big event, or they're to see Ozzy, or, you know, and plus you got a lot more people to reach, you know, instead of the clubs being a small little thing, and most of those people are there to see us because they go particularly to see us.
Is that the reason that you waited a little while after State of Euphoria was released before you went on the road? Were you looking for a big support tour?
Yeah, but... we waited for Ozzy to give us the confirming, and his album was delayed, so we had to keep waiting.
Are you guys going to do any headlining dates on your own?
Yeah, well, probably in March. Start Canada first.
You're going to go on your own tour then?
Yeah.
You're going to swing back through the U.S.?
Yeah.
How long do you plan to stay on the road supporting this record?
I would imagine we're going to go right down the end of probably late summer, if not into this fall.
Is there any dates so far on the tour that have stood out as being really good, or any unusual things going on?
I think Virginia was good. Philadelphia was great. Last night Portland was great. Maryland was good. And even Tampa Bay was good. It's so hard to remember some of these places. I mean, a lot of them are real good. I mean, they're starting to pick up now. We're hitting the major cities. Like tomorrow night, we're at the Meadowlands, and that'll be good. That'll probably be close to that. It's sold out.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing you guys in Cleveland. That's going to be a real good show.
Yeah, that should be good. Last time we were at Cleveland, I can't remember the name of the place.
Is there a reason that you guys have changed producers on each record?
Well, when you got, you know, you're dealing with producers, I mean, if something ain't right, you got to change. You got to move on to somebody else. Just got a little more open mind to things, you know.
Do you find that using a different producer for each record so far has added to the creativity? You know, you don't have the same
yeah,
reason,
but
the same
we
input?
Basically the reason why too, you know, we're not achieving what we really need to be achieving. So like this time, I think we're pretty satisfied with Mark, because Mark's cool and he's really lenient.
Do you think you'll use him on your next record?
I think it's a good possibility we could stay with that same team, you know. I think that really worked out great. I enjoyed it. I mean, nobody had any grief.
How'd you guys come up with the cover for State of Euphoria?
You know, it's pretty much the crowd. You know, we're trying to get that, you know, euphoric look. Everybody's really, like, joyous, and some are just every face you can just imagine out in the crowd, trying to get on the spiral there.
How about the title for that record? How'd you guys come up with that?
State of Euphoria?
Yeah.
That's basically that same kind of situation, you know, in that state of euphoria, you know.
How about Among the Living? How did the cover come up for that record?
Charlie had this guy, sort of like the Poltergeist kind of guy, and he seemed to fit the Among the Living issue. I didn't know how far, what they were really trying to say about that, actually.
How many nights a week are you guys playing?
We've been doing 3 and 1 off, you know, but a lot of 2 in a row, 3 in a row.
Let's talk about the back cover of the record. Who did that?
Mark Drucker, Mad Magazine.
Did you guys have a basic concept in mind for that?
Not really. We just, you know, I like the characters, the little cool characters that he does, so I figured do something like that.
How about the guy in the background? He's sort of been your mascot, so to speak.
Yeah, the Mac guy. Yeah, we found him in a store one day. So the record company actually used the Spreading Disease ad one day. It said that they had his face, and it said, "By George, I think he's got it." You know, Spreading the Disease. And so ever since then, he kind of just kept him around. Kind of cool looking guy.
Why the fascination with Knot?
Well, Knot, something you say when you're younger, and it's just like Knot, you know, like if, it's like no. It means no. It really doesn't mean anything. It's just something we'd say all the time. Knot.
That basically, I really kind of took off as being kind of a trademark or a slogan of the band.
It's kind of like sliding away a little bit now, you know. We haven't been holding the sign up Knot anymore, and it's there, but, you know, nothing really as large as it used to be.
Is there any other songs on the new record which really stand out as being good, or any particular circumstances that contributed to it?
I like Finally, one of my favorite songs on there. That's a good cut. That song itself, you know, just some good stuff, good wailing on it. I like it. It's freak jamming, you know, on it. It's a little more wide open. But, I don't know, nothing. Like that 13 is really just something that everything fell on the 13th that day.
So that's why the title came up for that one.
Yeah, Frank just wanted to do his little bass thing, so it seemed to fall in place.
Do you guys do a good amount of the production yourself?
Yeah, we just have somebody else doing the knobs for us.
And then you basically structure everything the way you want then, right?
Yep, everything.
Has it always been that way?
Yeah, because, you know, you're more in control that way, you know what I mean?
Have you had any problems with, especially earlier in your career? With the other label trying to structure things differently, or, you know, trying to get somebody in there to do all the production?
No, we're just going to keep it. You got to keep that format, I think, you know. I mean, if you start letting people deal with the stuff, you know, they can take it away from you, you know. And we won't let anybody touch it.
That's good, because I think you guys got a really good combination, really good sound on the record.
Thanks, yeah, I'm happy with them. You know, people, of course, everybody, when they get their records, they do a record, yeah, it's our best one, but... Yeah, I mean, it's more complete with all of us together on it. We worked on it together this time, finally, you know, instead of, you know, someone coming in late. And I just think we've got the sounds we wanted on it, you know, the best we could get out of it.
Do you think it's your best record?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, sure, people probably feel like other albums are better, or, you know, they're like particular songs on certain albums, you know, and myself, I think it's the best.
Are you keeping your set basically the same every night, or do you change it a little bit?
You really can't change it because, you know, you got time, time factors. You go over, you can't really take, you know, I mean, if you're headlining, you can do pretty much what you want. But we're going with 55 minutes, can't go over, you know. So if we add another song, and you don't know how long that is versus the other one. And plus, you got to rehearse things if you're going to pop a song and you want to rehearse things. You're playing different cities, so who cares, you know, you do the same set.
How long have you been on the road with Ozzy?
Middle of November.
So the middle of November. Are you going to continue for him with the whole tour?
February, yeah.
Are you going overseas?
No. We're going to go headline ourselves over there. We don't need to really support anybody over there, really.
And then after that, you're going to be coming back here to do your own headline tour?
Yep.
Well, you guys more or less kind of invented the mosh. Is that correct?
Not really. I think that's been around way back, like the Ramones days and all that kind of stuff. You know, people moshed at all those shows. I think in the newer age of music, meaning our stuff and the new upcoming stuff, I think the mosh and the people that haven't known about it is we created a feel to it, but, you know, in our own style of music, but I think it's been around for a while, that mosh stuff.
Has it been a little harder for the fans to mosh, you know, playing in the big venues like that?
Last night it was amazing.
Really?
Fucking went nuts, especially when it's general admission, man. There's no seats on the floor. I mean, everybody goes fucking wild.
Have you been playing a lot of shows like that?
Here and there, to me, I hope they break all the chairs. I mean, I hate to put those stupid chairs up. It takes too long, and they just stand there, like, bored out of their minds.
Yeah, it seems like that's kind of become a thing of the past in the big venues since all that stuff happened with the Who in Cincinnati and all that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just, with the chairs, it's like if they get rid of the chairs, they could have more fun. But I know it's harder to see, and you're more apt to be out of trouble if you're on a chair, and then nobody's banging into you, but... It's like, it's so much better when the chairs are gone because everybody's in a pack and it's like, you know, more of a concert, like, instead of just standing in these chairs. Some people are sitting down and it's just like, wow.
How have you guys found it to be working with Ozzy? Has he found him to be good to work with?
Yeah, no problem. You know, we're doing good business, so, I mean, we're doing all right.
Well, so we're going to look forward to seeing you guys in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Can I ask you to do a few IDs for the station first?
Yep.
Okay.
Was it WJC?
Yeah. Yeah, my show's called Metalmorphosis.
Yo, this is Joe Belladonna from Anthrax, and you're listening to Joe Kleon on WUJC 88.7, the Metalmorphosis station. Crank it up.
Sounds real good. I really appreciate you taking out the time. I hope it, you know, I know it was on a short notice. I hope it wasn't an inconvenience.
No, it's no problem. You caught me at a great time.
Okay, well, great. Well, I wish you, you know, all the success in the world.
All right.
For the great music. You guys are doing a real good job. You know, wish you all the success you could possibly achieve.
Yeah, thanks.
And we really look forward to moshing it up in Cleveland.
All right.
All right, man. Take it easy.
Great. Bye.
Bye.